800-409-1936.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and at least 90 are dead across 5 counties in Texas after catastrophic flooding. Search continues for the missing. Kerrville City Manager Dalton Rice.
From Hunt all the way to Comal County in a straight line distance is over 100 kilometers. This is a massive field.
And in North Carolina, flooding from a separate storm is blamed for at least one death this weekend. Authorities in McAllen, Texas say a gunman who opened fire at a border patrol station today was killed during a shootout.
He's been identified as 27-year-old Ryan Lasseter. He has a Michigan address, but he was also reported missing just this morning from a local area in Texas. Police haven't quite figured out the nature of that missing persons report. The car he was driving had some words written on it in Latin. They're still trying to sort through that.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. President Trump hosts Israel's prime minister today at the White House, pushing to finalize a Gaza ceasefire deal. This is ABC News. Weeks after being on the run, police in Washington state say they have new clues in the search for a Washington state father who's been accused of killing his 3 daughters.
For over a month, Travis Decker, trained by the military in wilderness survival, has been on the run, accused of killing his 3 young daughters while he had visitation of them. The trail had gone cold on his whereabouts, but now a family camping in the Bear Creek area of Idaho's Sawtooth National Forest saw a man on July 5th who looked a lot like Decker. The U.S. Marshals Greater Idaho Task Force is now surging into the area, and active search is underway. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A Liberian-flagged cargo ship coming under fire today in the Red Sea. 2 security guards reportedly on board, reportedly hurt, and 2 others missing in that assault that followed Yemen's Houthi rebels, purportedly sinking another vessel. Today, the Iran-backed rebel group says a Greek-owned ship sank. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it. Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you. But you decide if you pay it in full. But you definitely should, because, again, interest charges. With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Aylin. I'm Raymond Newpert. A new report from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health highlights the struggles that rural fire and EMS services are facing. EMS program manager James Small says nearly half the departments in Wisconsin aren't able to respond to calls with a basic level of firefighting.
They're relying on mutual aid for that, and that puts a lot of pressure then on the neighboring agencies to then help fulfill that request. Almost everybody's having this issue with the declining number of volunteers and a lack of financial resources.
Small says regionalizing and consolidating fire and EMS services could help address that issue. The newly signed Wisconsin state budget will include $1.3 billion in tax cuts. Bob Haig has more.
The tax cuts were a signature part of the budget compromise between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican leaders in the legislature. The state's second lowest tax bracket is expanded to include single filers and heads of household earning up to $50,480 and jointly filing married couples earning up to $67,300. Evers signed the budget early last Thursday morning following a marathon legislative session. His office estimates state taxpayers will see an average savings of $180, with most of the reductions going to filers with incomes of less than $20,000.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says last week's state Supreme Court ruling, which invalidated an 1849 criminal abortion law, will ensure that for now abortion remains legal in Wisconsin. Following that ruling by the court's liberal majority, Pro-Life Wisconsin says it will continue the fight to outlaw abortion without exception in Wisconsin. Delavan police are investigating after a 57-year-old Illinois man was found dead on a boat on Lake Delavan on Saturday morning. No foul play is being suspected. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures in the low 80s and clouds holding off until late tonight. As they start to build in, we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight and be waking up to a few spotty showers. Otherwise, more sunshine for the afternoon and a few thunderstorms are possible later. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Well, it was a negative market today. We gapped lower in corn, we gapped lower in soybeans, and we gapped lower in wheat to start the week after the holiday weekend. This is Brian Split. I am guest hosting for Chip, and it is Wednesday, July 7th, your edition of AgriTalk after the bell.
From a molasses cookie sort of afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, filling in for Chip from AgMarket.net, please welcome Brian Split.
Well, thank you, Davis. Probably wasn't the beginning of the week that we were hoping for. A lot of optimism going home Thursday afternoon. We had President Trump in Des Moines. I think there was talk that he was going to possibly announce another trade deal. People were throwing around China in there. And instead, it was really just stuff we already knew, Vietnam. We had good weather over the weekend, a lot of rain. My kid's baseball game got rained out yesterday, unfortunately. And then today we're slapped with new tariffs, actually, on Japan and South Korea, 25% each. So those are buyers of corn, by the way. So that was not a good development in the market.
No, not at all. And looking at the seasonals, you know, we're past July 4th now. And the Hallmark Channel on TV is doing Christmas in July. You may not realize this, but every year Chip takes off a little time to watch the Hallmark Channel in the middle of the day for Christmas in July. So we've got that going for us, and we're awful glad to have you along with us, Brian. I assume that maybe you'll catch Christmas in July on the Hallmark Channel at another time, probably.
Yeah, probably not today, I haven't started that tradition yet. But maybe that's one of those things where I see if I can jump in with Chip and just share in the moment with him together, right? Christmas in July, that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the best thing is just to leave him be, you know? He'll figure it out.
Just let him have his own time, his solitude?
Just let him have it.
Okay, he deserves it. You're right. Well, Davis, what moved the markets today?
Well, I've written a few things down that I think moved the markets. We'll see. Wheat futures gapped lower, opened near the high of the day. The lack of positive progress on a number of trade talks and the absence of a major announcement from President Trump last week in Des Moines put the wheat market on the defensive from the start of the session, as you mentioned. September soft red winter wheat futures spiked lower, then recovered to trade mid-range after mid-morning. Winter wheat harvest progress and development of the spring wheat crop also limited buying. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of July 3rd totaled 437,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. September HRW wheat futures 8.5 cents lower at 527.5. September soft red wheat was down 8.25 cents to 548.5. And at last settlement here, September spring wheat was at 636.75, down 10.5 on the day. Brian?
Yeah, you know, there was some hope that with this wheat market, it held some support after the stocks and acreage report. The harvested acres were dropped a little bit, so that dropped the production and got caught up in the optimism. But here we are, just right back down with everything else. And we probably still have a little bit of harvest pressure to deal with here yet, too.
Mm. Well, corn export inspections in the weekend of July 3rd totaled 1.491 million metric tons. That was also in line with trade expectations. Generally favorable growing conditions across much of the Corn Belt was a negative for the corn market, and the lack of positive trade developments were also a negative after the buildup to President Trump's trip to Iowa. December corn futures gapped lower and opened near session highs and fell sharply, traded near session lows late in the session. Corn prices dropped back to the lows of the day on word President Trump intends to initiate 25% tariffs on imports from Japan and South Korea. All told, September corn futures were 16.75 cents lower today, 403.5. December corn softened 16.25 cents to 420.75. March corn futures closed at 437.25, down 15.5 cents on the day. Brian, the September contract, knock, knock, knocking on $3, baby.
Knocking on it. Yeah, so we had a low at 402.25 leading into the stocks and acreage report on June 30th, a couple days before that. So we went down right to that area, 402.5. All you have below that is $4.25. You break through that, and you just got a tick of support at $4, and then you're trading with a three handle. We do have a gap to fill on a weekly continuous chart at 394. So that is still a potential target here for the downside.
Okay. Well, August soybean oil opened slightly lower and fell to fill the July 2nd upside price gap and then traded mid-range for much of the session. Positive news for biomass-based diesel and the Trump administration's biofuel policies helped to bring some buying back to bean oil. November soybean futures gapped lower and opened on session highs, and prices scored new lows late in the day on reports that Japan and South Korea will be hit with those increased tariffs. Generally good growing conditions across the Corn Belt and anticipation of this Friday's S&D report also weighed on soybeans. August beans were 24 cents lower, 10.31.5. September beans declined at 27.75 cents, 10.13.5. November beans closed at 10.20.75, down 28.5 cents on the day. It's the same story for all three of these, the corn, beans, and the wheat, it seems like. A hard turn lower and then just kind of hung in lower for the rest of the day.
Yeah, we made most of the move, you know, during the early part of the session and got some minor bounces. But kind of the concern on the November bean chart is it looks like there's maybe a little bit of a head and shoulder top type of a pattern developing. And 10-10 is going to be a really key area there. If we can't maintain prices above that, I think you're going to see a little technical liquidation.
Mm. Well, December cotton futures gapped slightly lower and firmed to fill that gap before falling to moderate losses. December cotton today 57 points lower at 67.89. Let me just hit these livestocks quick. We're August live cattle, $1.85 higher, 215.90. August feeders up 422.5 to 313.72.5. I believe that's a new all-time high close in the August feeders there. And July hogs, $1.25 lower at 106.95. Have we got Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group, Brian, you reckon?
I sure hope we do. He should be here. Jack, you around?
Yeah, well, at least I think I am anyway. You can hear me?
That's a start, yeah. If you think you're there, then you, hopefully you are. I guess, what do you got today? There's a lot that happened.
Well, there is. I think a lot of it was weather-related because of the change in the weather, at least here in Chicago. It's significantly cooler. And I think that's true in a great part of the Midwest. We didn't get the rains we were promised. We got a little bit, but not enough to really change things. But I think really it's the cooler temperatures that are helping out. providing some relief to especially the corn crops, especially here in northern Illinois, where it has been kind of dry, and the crops, the corn was starting to roll a little bit. So I think that was definitely a negative factor. And I think the fact that President Trump was in Des Moines late last week and didn't make any new Chinese trade announcements was a big disappointment of the trade. The trade had kind of built up the idea that Trump was going to make a major new trade announcement about China, which I did not believe, but many apparently did. And when that didn't materialize, it was down she went.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, if the market was willing to price in some optimism on you know, the idea of a China deal, why wouldn't it take it out very quickly? And then if weather has improved or continues to be good, you know, is this market ready to make some new lows? We'll see how the crop conditions come out this afternoon. But any other markets you're looking at?
Sure. I'm always looking at the rice, which is also been getting slammed here lately because of the trade wars going on, not helping out the export demand there at all. And the meat markets, the cattle market just continues to be charging ahead despite the demand.
Sure does.
Very positive factor.
Well, stay with us. We're going to have a conversation with Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag after the break, right after this.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Said you'd never buy.
You are invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment and innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are scheduled dairy tours, field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th. Bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit WIFarmTechDays.org.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products. Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products and the answers that work.
Is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell. This is Brian Split, guest hosting for Chip Flory. I decided to put myself on cheat mode today and figured who could I have just a real easy conversation with as we go into the report at the end of the week. So I asked my friend, he needs no introduction. He is the chief market strategist for Zahner Ag, Ted Seifried. Ted, welcome.
Well, hi, Brian. Thanks for having me, buddy. I appreciate you giving me a call. Love doing the show, man. It's fun to be on.
Yeah, this is you're no stranger to this show. I think we've got, you know, a lot to cover today, so we'll try and get through some stuff. And I guess my goal, Ted, is we do have a report later this week, so maybe just kind of get maybe some of your thoughts on that. But I think the market is also thinking ahead of that report and what things might look like a month down the road as we start to really see what the USDA thinks about the crop. Is it a trend, you know, plus crop by X how much percent? So what does that look like on the balance sheet if we do that? But let's first kind of get your thoughts. You said you put together some balance sheet information for the report on Friday. So what do you think? Is there going to be anything as far as old crop corn? You know, we had the stocks number, we've got export pace. What do you think there, Ted?
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, we do, or, you know, it's really me doing it, but, you know, we give our estimates for the news agencies for the pre-report guesses, as you guys do too. And yeah, I just finished mine up this morning. So that's very timely. You know, going back to the reports that we had last week, because we always use those reports to kind of incorporate into new numbers for this WASD report. Sometimes quarterly grain stocks can have an impact on that. I don't think this last quarterly grain stocks report really tells us much of anything as far as old crop, as far as expecting many changes. Now, we can say that, you know, since that quarterly grain stocks survey has taken place, we've kept up with some very strong corn exports, both sales and shipments. And myself personally, I'm adding another 25 million bushels to old crop corn exports, thereby directly cutting that 25 million off of old crop carryover, i.e. cutting it off of new crop carry in, and really nothing in the soybeans. You know, I actually, before I saw the corn.
Can I stop you 1 second? Do you think there's a change on feed residual, or are you just only making a change on the corn for export on the old crop?
You know, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I toyed with the idea of adding 50 million to export and then taking away 25 million from feed and residual.
But net,
I see a 25 million bushel reduction in ending stock. So it really doesn't matter how I get to that number. I could see that happening either way, or how they get to that number, I should say.
So carry in is now 134 in your mind.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, if we were going to see a big drop in feed and residual, I think you would have seen something in the quarterly grain stocks number. And by the way, I still think there's a good chance that when we get to the September quarterly grain stocks number, which is our quote unquote, you know, final quarter, it's our ending stocks number. I do still wonder if there might be some more bushels to be found. The reason I say that is because if you look at where the corn is currently stored, it's mostly off farm. The on-farm storage number, that's the one that we don't really know until it transfers hands into the commercial, into the off farm. And when that happens, that's when we can find some extra bushels. But we are like 16% lower year over year on on-farm storage, and that could be getting underreported. We might see that show up later on.
Okay.
But it didn't happen on this report. So therefore, you know, probably minimal changes on old crop balance sheets. For soybeans, I was tempted to kind of raise exports by like 15 million. But given the quarterly grain stocks number, I wasn't able to justify that. So old crop pretty much stays the same. And then, you know, obviously the big question is, what about new crop? This is not a report where the USDA can make a whole lot of changes. Well, okay, they can't make a whole lot of changes on production. The part that does change is the new acreage numbers. As you saw, though, those acreage numbers came out very close to intentions. Now, I want to alert you, the listener, and anybody else that is putting together these numbers right now, the USDA kind of sneakily reduced harvested acreage significantly for corn and for wheat. I think for wheat, it all came from the winter wheat crop. I think that is the flooding that we're seeing show up in there. I'm not exactly sure why the USDA cut corn harvested acreage as much as they did. 600,000 acres. That's significant. It makes a difference of about 100 million bushels in production. Because, the planted acreage number was only 125,000 acres less than what intentions were, but right. Harvested acreage was down 600,000. That was almost like losing 1 million acres on planted acreage by doing that. So I don't think most of us saw that at first glance, that you had to read a little bit further into that acreage report to really get that. But it will have an impact on production. The USDA will not, Brian, I repeat, will not change yield for corn or soybeans on this report. I firmly believe that, because if you read the guidelines and the protocols that they have for their yield estimate on this report, there's only two situations there's only two ways they can change yield on this report, and that is either extremely delayed planting, i.e. 2019, that was not the case this year, or a June that has, I believe it's 1.9 inches below average on a national level rainfall deficit. We did not have that. So neither one of their protocols to change the July yield or change the yield on a July WASDE report were triggered. Those yield numbers should stay the same.
And there is no protocol to raise yield in July, correct?
What's that?
And there is no protocol to ever raise the yield in July.
Not that I see. Right. So there's only two reasons they can lower yield. I don't think there's any reason at all for that they can raise yield. They look at crop conditions, they look at July weather, but these are all forecasts of what's to come. So they don't right. make changes based on that. They don't increase yield based on that, but they'll leave them at the trend line yields. I feel very strongly about that.
They haven't increased yield in the last 20 plus years. So,
right. Yeah, and by the way, these models, the model that they're currently using was set up in 2013, and this is the protocol that they've been using since then. They've not deviated from it. So I see no way for them to change yield. There is a slight change in production. If you put the new harvested acreage number in for corn, we're down 109 million bushel from last month's production number. So there is
where are you at? A 1.598? Is that your new crop number now, or?
Well, their number report should be 15.711 billion bushels for new crop corn production. That's down from 15.820 from last month. And that is just simply using the new harvested acreage number.
Okay.
Which, again, I'm not exactly sure why it came down as much as it did, but it really did. It's the equivalent of almost losing 1 million acres of planted acreage by reducing it that much. So, yeah, that is interesting. Very little changes on the soybean production number. It's down 9 million bushels from where they had it last month at 4.331 compared to 4.340. There too, you can't change the yield. So really nothing on new crop bean production. New crop corn production is down though. And like I said, I've got them coming in with a little bit smaller beginning stocks. So my new crop corn carryover shrinks from a 1.75 billion bushel carryover to 1.666 billion bushel carryover. Devil corn. And again, that's by accident. That's not on purpose. But, that's just kind of easing a little bit tighter. Not a tight scenario. But, look, the market remembers what happened last year when we started at a 2.4 billion bushel carryover. And that
late season dryness really took the top end off the crop.
And a ton of demand, Brian.
Right,
look,
right.
The export demand for corn was way bigger and better than what the USDA had been thinking at this time last year. By the way, and I've said it on the show before, I think that's a reflection of how good quality that corn crop was because of that late season dryness last year. It travels well. It stores well. It gives great ethanol margins and it gives really good feed margins. I think a lot of this better than expected export demand for U.S. corn is because of the quality of the corn that we had last year. I don't think global end users really feel that confident about the quality of this current crop. But, again, it's only halfway through the growing season. We could have a repeat of how last growing season sure. ended, and they'll want this one just as badly as well until they run out of storage, I guess.
So Mexico is a big buyer, right?
demand dropping just a little bit for next year, but not by much, mainly because I think exports were a little bit front-loaded because of the quality of this past crop. But no, I think they will be, and we've seen it. We've seen it on sales so far. I think they'll be our continual buyers. I don't think their demand drops that much for next year.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to hear more from Ted. And I think what I'd like to get into is maybe a little bit of an idea of how things evolve from now and what we just talked about to going into August, and maybe what we're going to try to price in over the next 30 days as we move forward from the July report. So that would be my goal.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where September HRW wheat futures were 8.5 cents lower at 527.5. September soft red wheat fell 8.25 cents to 548.5. September corn futures 16.75 cents lower today at 403.5. December corn softened 16.25 cents to 420.75. August soybeans were 24 cents lower, 1031.5. November beans closed at 1020.75. That's down 28.5 cents today. December cotton was 57 points lower, 67.89. Livestocks, August fat cattle $1.85 higher at 215.90. August feeders firmed $4.22.5 to 313.72.5. And July lean hogs $1.02.5 lower, 106.95. Try ProFarmer.com.
Do it!
When the game is on the line.
It's that time of year again. Mower season just around the corner. Stop by Comro Sales and Service and check in with the Aarons and Gravely specialists. Comro's not only sells new and used mowers, they service most makes and sizes too. So whether you're looking for a Comro upgrade or just a quick once-over on your current mower, call or stop into Comro Sales and Service. They'll get you ready for the season. Comro Sales and Service, conveniently located in Durand on Highway 85 and in Whitehall on Tower Drive. You know, when you get a mower from Comro Sales, you're getting one bad grass mower.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
The 2025 Northern Wisconsin State Fair is back, July 9th through the 13th in Chippewa Falls. Experience 5 full days of rides, food, animals, free attractions, and family fun. Plus, the Line of Cougar Main Stage brings you Montgomery Gentry featuring Eddie Montgomery, Hairball, Flo Rida, and Foreigner. Get your tickets and details at NWSFA.com. Make it a summer to remember. We'll see you at the fair.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures in the low 80s and clouds holding off until late tonight. As they start to build in, we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight and be waking up to a few spotty showers. Otherwise, more sunshine for the afternoon and a few thunderstorms are possible later. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Well, we are back with Ted Seifert. This is Brian Split, and it is Monday, July 7th. We've got AgriTalk going here after the bell, and I think Ted did an amazing job of really getting us kind of in tune with what his expectations are for the WASDE report on Friday. But I think the market has already kind of moved past that. It doesn't sound like we're looking for any major, major disruptions to the understanding the balance sheet. So we've got some weather patterns here that have really given a lot of the growers in the Midwest some good rain totals here over the weekend. The future forecast doesn't look super threatening, right? So what do you think as far as yield from trend moving forward here? I know it's still early, right? It's early July, but where's the market right now? There's been a lot of talk of 185, 186 type numbers. Is that possible? Is that where we're headed, Ted?
Yeah, Brian, first of all, I'm going to say I really love the retro flair we're bringing back with AgriTalk ATB today. I love it. I love it. Let's bring back Market Rally Radio in the meantime. Yeah, buddy. Also, I'd like to point out that we have a very handsome newsman, of course, as always. We have a really handsome host, Brian Split, and a mediocrely okay guest. But it's a pretty good trio. I think it's maybe the best we've had on the show. That being said, eat your heart out, Chip. Okay, now I'll answer your question. Yeah, where are we going from yield? I always kind of think it's funny this time of year where everybody gets so, I don't know, one-sided, like, and enthusiastic. Like, we're either cutting 5% off the yield or adding 5% off the yield on 4th of July weekend. It just seems like we do that every year. And I'm not there. I would like to say that I think it's a lot harder to go higher than trend line than it is to go lower than trend line. I think it's gotten to the point where that model that we talked about earlier that was developed in 2012, i.e. their trend line yield forecasting model, to me, it feels like trend line yield has slowed down. We had some really big jumps back when we had a lot of changes in technology, farming practices, and things like that. I mean, you look at the late 2000s into the teens, and we were really seeing things ramp up very quickly. I think that curve has slowed a little bit. I think the 181 or 181.5 is attainable, and that's kind of the number that I would be using right now. But like I said, I mean, it's too early to change the USDA's balance sheet, so I'm not really changing mine. I have some what-if balance sheets. But as far as the weather is concerned, you know, I got to say, I'm a little surprised that the market didn't react a little bit more to what the 8 to 14 day outlook was saying, especially with the midday update. I think today was really focused on, and, you know, today we were really heavy. This is why I'm talking about it. But today was really focused on the lack of a new profound statement coming from Trump at the Iowa State Fair. The market on Wednesday and into Thursday was really celebrating that Trump was going to be at the Iowa State Fair. And he said that, you know, he was going to give us a speech and the farmers would really love to hear what he has to say. And that really made a lot of people speculate that, oh, there's going to be this new trade deal announced. And then you had, like, you know, the people talking about, well, remember when China used to come to Des Moines? This is Des Moines. Remember when China used to come to Des Moines to make these ceremonial purchases? Are we going to get a 10 or 15 million metric ton purchase of beans or maybe even corn? Oh, what if it's 10 million metric tons of corn? So, I mean, these were the things that were running rampant in the market late last week. And then none of that happened. Really, the best I can tell, his major announcement was that he was going to allow some undocumented immigrants stay in the country if farmers were going to vouch for them after years of hard work. But that, I mean, we'd heard him say that a couple days beforehand. So, I don't know. I don't know what all that was about. So today was really about taking that away and also a reflection of what the weather had been over the weekend and the fact that, you know, we have, as far as corn ratings, which, again, trust them as far as you can throw them, we have one of the best rated crops that we've had since, what, 2016. So all of that was reflected today. I don't know if we were really reflecting that 8 to 14 day outlook. And if crop conditions fall this afternoon, the trade's looking for steady to better, we might pay more attention to that, and that could fuel a turnaround Tuesday. I don't know. Crop conditions are coming out here shortly, so we'll see. But that 8 to 14-day outlook, you've got a big below-normal precip ball, which could be looked at as a dome, sitting over a good portion of the I-States into Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And that comes with above normal temperatures. Now, you can also say that we're going through pollination a little earlier or very timely this year. So eight to 14 days from now, we might be kind of getting past pollination in most areas, in the areas that are under that dome. I don't know. But I could see the market looking at that 8 to 14 day forecast differently by the end of the week if conditions were to fall a little bit. And again, I just don't feel like that was the focus of the day. So I don't know. I wonder where we go from here. I wonder where weather goes from here. That will certainly dictate what happens with yield and what happens with prices. I do wonder if we're going to have something similar, a similar finish to this year that we did last year, where, you know, we get that hotter, drier finish. And if that's the case, you know, the market didn't really rally on that last year. It waited till January into February, which, by the way, is kind of why we have that February high that everybody said, well, we're going to have to beat that at some point. Well, if you understand why that high was in February, and it was a delayed rally based on last year's end of the growing season, then maybe it makes sense that, okay, we haven't taken that out yet. But, you know, I can see something like that happening. And I do think the market would be a lot more sensitive to it this year, certainly compared to what it was last year. So I do like the idea. If you're having to make sales here at this point, I do like the idea of reownership. I know some people, you know, hate me or brokers saying that, but, you know, look, if you feel like you're throwing in the towel and giving up on upside potential, well, there's a way to kind of replace that you can do fairly cheaply. And I think there are times where I'm a fan of that, and I'm currently a fan of that. So that's where I stand. But yeah, I don't think that a long answer to your question, I'll make it short now. I don't think there's a whole lot of upside potential on that corn yield. I don't think it's going to 185, you know. At the moment, I think it is what the trend line is and maybe a little bit better, but I don't think it's an astronomical number. Soybeans is a little bit of a different story. I could see soybeans, if they get a really good finish. Soybeans like to get roughed up early in the year. Their conditions are not nearly as good as corn. If we have a really good finish to July and into August, I do wonder if the soybeans can really, really blow that yield number out of the water. That's a concern. But, you know, we're a long ways from knowing that. You know, beans are an August crop.
Sure. And everything you mentioned in the 8 to 14 day, if that does come to fruition, will make people nervous about soybean potential if that dryness is something that comes to fruition and then starts to stick around, right? So we talked kind of a little bit about this year, of course. Now, we just had a year we planted a bunch of corn this year, right? And then not a lot of soybeans. What do you think that acreage shift looks like next year as we go thinking 2026 and then fertilizer prices? Like, do we go back down to 90? Is that too low? Is it 91, 92? Because, you know, when I start plugging some of those numbers into next year's balance sheets with some different carryout numbers, I'm like, gosh, this 2026 thing doesn't look like a real big bear story to me. And again, a lot of that depends on acreage planted, but what do you think there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, a lot of things can and will happen between now and when we make our decisions on acreage for next year. A lot can happen from input prices. But, you know, one of the things that's going to be watched very, very closely is how the biofuels thing ends up. You know, does the EPA's proposal get set into motion when it comes to being decided in October? Or does it change between now and then? That'll be watched very closely. But I mean, if you look at the board, you look at December 26 corn sitting at 456, which is, you know, it's okay. It's not terribly far from where December 25 corn was, you know, just last week for that matter. And you look at November 26 beans and we're at 1050. It's not really screaming a huge shift to bean acreage like you would maybe think if you really buy into the idea that we're going to see this huge increase in biofuels demand and therefore soybean demand for biodiesel and sustainable aviation. So I really do feel like the November 26 soybean contract has to do some work against that December 26 corn contract in order to get that acreage shift. But, you know, knowing what we know today, you would think that beans are going to need to make that play at some point. But like I said, a lot can change between now and when we start making those decisions in the fall, or, you know, late fall after harvest. kind of depending on what happens with biodiesel. And yeah, to some extent, to your point, you know, what happens with input costs, because input costs can kind of help make that decision and make it so soybeans don't have to try as hard to get the acres, because, you know, input costs are taking away from that board price on corn.
Right. Well, sounds like a lot of variables that are still going to come into play here, and a lot of it's policy, unfortunately. And those are the parts of the variables that kind of come out of nowhere. It starts with a rumor, and then you get an announcement. And it's also something that never seems to come when it's supposed to. The announcements as far as policy are never on time.
Global economy, you've got a whole lot of trade, really everything. Brian, 30 seconds. What are you telling your clients to do right now if they're calling saying, I haven't sold anything yet?
So if they haven't sold anything yet, I mean, right now I'm not in a major mood to be a seller right now. I think we've priced in a lot of negativity, based on improvement in South America's crop. I think we're probably overdoing pricing in the size of this year's crop. And I would echo your sentiment that if you are in the mindset where you do feel like you need to make some type of sales, whether it's for cash flow, getting the bushels out of your ownership physically, I think you have to look at some type of paper ownership, know what your risk is, use the options, and that's for you to talk to your advisor about.
Awesome job, Brian. You're the man.
You are the man. Ted, thank you so much for coming on. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. I know you've got to go, so in the next segment, Davis and I are just going to battle it out. Just random
Woo-hoo.
Knowledge.
Woo-hoo.
After that, we'll be right back with AgriTalk.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can easily find the right home insurance for you, even if it's not with Progressive. But if you don't choose us, then sure, okay, it's not going to work out. We're not going to cry about it or stay awake wondering what our future together would have looked like. We can't get emotionally invested, even if it sounds like we are. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer allows you to easily compare home insurance rates and coverages in one place, even if it's not with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. I love you. I shouldn't have said that.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. For Ag Day, the country experience.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secure. Then share them with family and friends.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It's Brian Splitt. I'm filling in for Chip Flory. And we'll finish up the last segment here. Kerry Artak, ArtakAdvisory.com. WickedStocks.com. I think he's got three markets he wants to talk about. So, Kerry, take it away, sir.
Thanks, Brian. I'm going to start with December 25 corn. That is a lead contract now. It is the high volume contract. It is the contract that you find on the long-term weekly continuation charts. And we're trading, you know, around 420 roughly last I looked. 418 half just below the market is a midterm support level. It can contain selling into August activity. And holding above 418.50 will keep 460 even in reach between now and the end of August, where the December corn contract can top out into autumn activity, possibly into December expiration itself. 460 even meaningful longer term resistance. Now, the way I see this right now as we move between now and the end of August is a 418.50 floor and a 460 even ceiling. And we're very close to that floor right now. So you can bottom pick 418 half, anticipating the low 460s within a month or two. But if we close the week below 418 half, more of the same, bearish continuation over the next month or two, say by the end of August, into the 384.50 to 392 even area. That is long-term support, not only for the December contract, but for the broader market as well on the longer-term weekly continuation charts. Once again, it would be expected by the end of August, if we close this week below 418.50, the 384.50 to 392 even area, able to contain broader market selling through the rest of the year. On to August live cattle, trading around 216 even last. I've got 208.52. This is a midterm support level I mentioned on your show a number of times over the last couple of months. It is a climbing one-year channel top we settled above almost 3 months ago. It was in the 207 handle just a few weeks ago. 208.52, midterm support, able to contain selling into August, and above which we can rally back to long-term resistance that is presently at 221.55. Now, that is the one-year rising channel seasonal top that we've tested four times in the last 2 months. And so the way the market, I see it technically shaped up right now between now and the end of August, is a 208.52 floor, a 221.55 ceiling, both of which can contain monthly activity, possibly into August trade. Of the two, 221.55 is by far more significant. It represents a longer-term objective we've had for several months. We've been testing it, retesting it. It can contain seasonal highs, and unless we can close above it, we may be seeing a good high for the year. I don't see a confirmation of a good high for the year, though, unless we close this week below that 208.52 level. And so if we do, if August live cattle closes below 208.52, a good high for the year, 193.55, then considered a 3 to 5 month downside objective where the broader live cattle market can bottom out into next spring. Now, for the upside, if we do wind up, and it's not going to happen this week, but over the next 3 to 5 weeks, let's say by the end of July, we actually do close above that 221.55 level, then we have a 2 to 3 month buy signal that should yield an even more significant 5-year channel top that is presently at 232 even and climbing that can contain buying not only through the rest of the year, but possibly well into next. And finally, stock pick for wickedstocks.com is the SPY, as they call it. The S&P 500 spider ETF symbol SPY, the high volume S&P 500 stock like entity, well suited for not only long-term investors but also near to midterm swing traders. We're trading around 618 last. It's worth mentioning that a couple of weeks ago the SPY as well as the S&P 500 placed a 2 to 3 month buy signal when they both closed above their previous all-time high that was placed last February. In terms of the SPY, that is 613 and a quarter. The February high, 613 and a quarter, below the market. We're trading around 618 last. Solid bottom picking territory, 613 and a quarter, as we move through July, above which 660 even, a rising 5-year channel top, remains a 2 to 3 month objective, and it is climbing on a week-by-week basis. We're expecting it over the next 2 to 3 months, and it can contain buying not only through the rest of the year, but possibly well into next. Downside, closing below 613 and a quarter does signal 595 even within 2 to 3 weeks. This is also a secondary long-term support level that could contain selling through August, and from there we could round up to new all-time highs again within 3 to 5 weeks. But it would be a settlement below 595 even that would indicate a significant sell signal as we move into September, October. Within a couple of months, I would expect a 10% decline to 535 even. But the bottom line with the SPY right now is you've got a floor of support at 613 and a quarter that is very buyable, anticipating 660 even over the next 2 to 3 months. And that's all I've got, Brian, for this week.
Gary, thank you. Fantastic job. That's Kerry Artak, artakadvisory.com, wickedstocks.com. Davis, we're at the end of the show here already. How did that happen?
We really are. Terrific conversation. You fertilizer prices came up just a little bit. I've got some updated prices here if you're interested, and it's a quick conversation, Brian. I've got numbers in Iowa where really the big significant moves here, $12 lower in anhydrous ammonia in the state of Iowa, and $13 per short ton lower on urea. Phosphate continues higher. That's MAP up $4.17. So I'm calling it strength in Iowa prices. We look over at Illinois, and over the last 2 weeks, they're dead steady, bro. I don't know what to make of it. Fractionally sideways trade in Illinois fertilizer.
Fractionally sideways.
Everything is unchanged. I'm not sure what to make of that. At least we're leveling off and not continuing to shoot higher. But production costs are going to be a thing, not just for the rest of this year, but into next year, aren't they, Brian?
Yeah, big time. You know, a lot of concern after we had, bombers over Iran and what that would do to urea values. So I'm glad we've kind of seen things, temper down a little bit over there for sure. That is one part of this that makes it very difficult is, the input costs have external pressures, right? And they're kind of doing their own thing, but we've got, the market trading its own supply and demand fundamentals, and right now they just don't work together. But
we just got to look for those opportunities and take advantage of it, right, my brother?
When you got to take the cookie when the plate goes around. So thanks to Jack Scoville, we got the price direction from him. We talked to Ted Seifert, did a really good job on the analysis today. Carrie Artak gave us some good information on what to look for in corn and some cattle and some S&P trades there. And then looks like tomorrow we've got Breaking Barriers with R&D plus policy analyst Jim Weissmeyer.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Attention taxpayers. If you or your business owe the IRS back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, the IRS has greenlighted billions of dollars in tax relief to those facing financial hardship through its tax relief initiatives. If you have a delinquent tax problem and possibly facing wage garnishment, liens, levies, audits, or already in a payment plan, you may now qualify for significant relief. Qualifying and enrolling in this program could stop all collections, settle your tax problem, and may even reduce what you owe by up to 99%. Call the hotline at Tax Pro USA to see if you qualify by dialing 800-480-9555. If you or your business owe at least $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS or state, you can now get the help that you need during these hard economic times. Call Tax Pro USA to get your free tax assessment to see what you qualify for by dialing 800-480-9555. 800-480-9555. That's 800-480-9555.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, at least 90 are dead across five counties following catastrophic flash flooding. Crews still searching for the missing. The deadly storm raising concerns over the alert systems in the flood-prone area. ABC's Ginger Z says...